Welcome to a 10-minute game misconduct, and actually, a couple guys got one last night. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And if you missed any episodes, you can go to GameMizConduct.com. That's Miz with a Z. Also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear what you have to think about the show. And make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode of Game Misconduct, because they're kind of coming fast and furiously these days, especially with us playing basically every other day in the Eastern Conference Final. Game one last night, Lightning, Islanders. They got a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
What a game, right?
What a game. I wasn't really sure what we were going to get because they were out for like a week. But
I know, and I kept seeing people say the Lightning don't play well when they have a lot of rest. And I just – that's not something that's readily at the front of my like frontal lobe. I don't recall that being a thing.
Oh, for me, it's a thing.
Okay. Then it's a thing. But I do want to point out that we should just get the obvious out of the way. And that's John Cooper's comment after the game in the press conference in which he said, let's be honest, this is a one-off. They had to play a 7-game series and grind and travel a new time zone. And very doubtful we'll see scores like this again. So we should just get that out of the way. I mean, when the Lightning were traveling to Edmonton, the Islanders were getting ready for game 7 back in Toronto.
Yes.
So it was a really quick turnaround for the Islanders. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody should go back and check out again, especially right now, our chat that we had with Mike Poirier, in which he explained everything that goes on with getting ready for a bubble. And you have to think they're now having to do that again to get from Toronto to Edmonton. So all of the things that were entailed getting from Tampa to Toronto, they had to redo. I mean, aside from probably customs and all that, but they still had to travel into another bubble. Mm-hmm. So while the Lightning were getting that and situated and acclimated to everything with the time zone change, these guys were still back in Toronto playing.
Right.
Or preparing to play. And then you have all their team and organization and everything behind the scenes trying to get everything. Okay, equipment guys have to, they're doing two things at once. So
yes.
I did anticipate they were going to be tired. I anticipated they were going to be a little flat, a little not the Islander team that we've seen.
Right.
Especially in these playoffs. But I don't want to take anything away from the Lightning.
No. So
at all.
Yes, I understand the whole travel thing because, yes, the Lightning were already landing in Edmonton before the Flyers and the Islanders were getting ready to play. So I get it. However, when you're playing in a series or a regular season, you're traveling like every other day. So I get it. It's a little more permanent for a little bit longer instead of like you're playing one night and then you're off to the next city that night after the game. So, yes, there was some travel. There was a time change. However, I was kind of like, yes, Islanders are going to be tired. And I was happy it wasn't an emotional win for the Islanders at the end of that series because I was like, well, that's going to really drag over. They kind of squashed the Flyers pretty early and easily. So it wasn't an emotional win for the Islanders, like an overtime game winning goal or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's good news. Two, yes, they're going to be probably a little more tired than the Lightning are going to be. But I always worried that with too much time off, the Lightning can be a little flat coming out. So I thought, okay, it's going to be pretty even. One with a lot of rest, one being a little tired. I did not see an even. Now, granted, there was some sloppy passing in the beginning of the first period. Yeah. And I was like, hey, let's clean that up a little bit, guys. But, I mean, Braden Point's goal, like less than 2 minutes into the first period. Again, I love Sean Avery these days on Instagram stories. And he was like, that is the most beautiful goal I've ever seen. I mean, the talent with that. I mean, it was just amazing. And we would be remiss if we didn't say that, Nikita Kucherov being back in the lineup, which we weren't really sure what we were going to get, was a huge boost. They dressed 11-7, just like they had in the last series, which really helped them when Mikhail Sergachev got that 10-minute game misconduct. And, you know, granted, they were up like 6 goals by then, but still, it really helped out, kind of even out that playing field. But, I mean, I do agree with you. This is a 7-game series. We will probably not see this again in this series. This is going to be a really hard-fought series, especially now, because the Islanders are probably really pissed off with that showing. And Barry Trotz's team, they are a very well-coached team. But I thought it was we capitalized on their lackluster performance tonight. And so we're ahead of game in the series, but like all my friends were texting me and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Just take us to the finals now. And I'm like, no, slow your roll. No. Lots can happen in a 7-game series. So yes, it was probably the most complete 60 minutes I've seen this team play in the entire bubble situation. Mm-hmm. So that made me very happy. And the fact that they didn't stand back and play safe hockey, even though they're up 7-6 goals, they were still, but they weren't giving up defensive chances just to make a goal.
Right.
And that made me happy. And their power play was much better too.
Yeah. And even their power play late in the third period, it was what I think their last power play.
Yeah.
You could see them kind of not really pouring the hot sauce on.
Shirts that say pouring the hot sauce.
I know
on.
We really should. But you saw them kind of be a little more cautious.
Yeah.
With the puck kind of, it was a lot of passing going on play.
Yeah. And they were just, let's possess the puck. Cause if we possess the puck, they're going to not have a chance to score, even if, you know, it's 2-7 or whatever it was. But
I think it was 7-2 at that point.
Because
they scored on the 5-on-3.
Right.
So this is before, you know, it was the latter. You saw them as you pointed out, last series when they had that huge win, the 7-1 win. Mm-hmm. The 7-1 win. You pointed out that it became a point, a time in the game where they stopped celebrating. And we saw that again
last
in game
night.
One as well. They just were kind of like, okay, cool.
Well, job. You don't want to poke the bear.
Yeah.
I mean, and be like,
a jerk about it.
Yeah.
You're winning.
Don't be, yeah.
You're winning.
Yeah.
And you're winning. The one thing I did feel I saw everybody commenting on, and I got a couple of texts about it, was Barry Trotz pulling Greiss as quickly as he did.
Yeah.
And I said to my coworker buddy, I said, listen, Barry Trotz is, in my opinion, and I know yours as well, one of the best coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's probably, in my opinion, going to end up being one of the greatest coaches of all time. Not Absolutely. Number one, not number two, but he'll be up there in that conversation.
Absolutely.
But I will say that I think he saw something quickly he did not like. Mm. And I don't think it was so much, you know, he faced nine shots Greiss did and only made 6 saves. And when you look at how many shots, you know what I'm saying? Like the law of averages. Yeah. I think he just didn't like anything he was seeing early. Right. And it was kind of, let's stop the bleeding now because I feel like this is going to get out of hand. He's been around. He's seen lots of things. And I think that's what that whole poll for Varlamov was about.
Well, and he knows his guys.
Yeah.
So he knows how they're acting on the bench, how they're reacting to these goals. And from what I understand, and I didn't follow the Islanders that much this season or even when they were in the bubble, but from what I understand, like this is pretty much a goaltending tandem. Like there's like 1A, 1B. And so it's not like you got your backup and you got your starter. It's like 1A, 1B. And so I think he probably read the room and saw that his guys on the bench were tired and, okay, what is the easiest thing for me to change up right now to either stop the bleeding or to spark a response? And I think that was it. And I don't think that there's any, like, not like when they pulled the goaltender for who's the team? Boston.
And
it was the kid who'd never played a game ever in the NHL and he's got to go, you know, relieve their number one. I mean, I don't think it was that kind of situation.
No.
One thing I did see on the post game real quick and on the post game on NBC and on the Lightning post game on Sun Sports was that I think they had only missed one shot that didn't actually make it to the net. They were making a big deal out of that. And I haven't seen the box score, but it was like all the shots actually were either blocked or made it to the net or the goaltender, except for maybe one. And so I know you're looking that up right now. But I mean, they just seemed so on, and like they were clicking, and the defense was chipping in, and the defense looked great. And like little things, like there was a touch pass by Sergachev on one of the goals to where he kept it in the zone, and then they were able to score. I mean, just these little things that we talk about in the regular season of like, they've got it. They've just got to clean these things up. And I think they had a really good practice. I think they had really good coaching. I think they've just matured as a team. And I think for them being in the bubble has really helped them. Because they did acquire these new guys right at the trade deadline, and they didn't really get to play with them much. But, you know, them being around each other and really kind of getting to know each other and kind of being forced to just be with each other because you're in a bubble, I think it's helped this team a lot. I feel like they're a really tight group. And just even when they're leaving the ice after a game, you see it with the training staff and the coaches and the players, like they just seem like a really tight knit group. And if there was one thing I remember from the 2004 Stanley Cup winning team is that they were a tight, tight, tight group from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting chills kind of talking about it. It just seems like they've got each other's back. They're learning from each other. And yes, I think it was the highest scoring games since, you know, in the bubble, any of the bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great. Yay, they got a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. Woo! I just really like what I'm seeing from this team.
Yeah.
It's almost like they can go out and score at will. Because there was when the Islanders scored the one goal, right, in the first period, it was almost like they came out the next shift and were like, sorry. We're going to put another one in, and it went in. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see. And Vasi, I mean, he made some incredible stops in that third period right before the game was over that were just, you don't necessarily have to make those stops, but he made the stops. They had some really good chances. And it wasn't that like Islanders weren't getting chances. They were getting some chances.
Yeah.
They were just being stopped. And if we continue, like the one thing I was really worried about, it's not necessarily a trap game, but what I do know about the Islanders watching them play the Flyers is that they clog up the neutral zone. And that's where a lot of our forwards get their speed. What I did notice is the Lightning came out at this game, dumping the puck in. And I'm okay with the dump and chase game if you're going to be the first guy to the puck. Mm-hmm. Like if your team's going to dump the puck in and for a chase, your team better be the ones to get to the puck first. And they were doing that. So I think they were anticipating the kind of like the clogging up of the neutral zone. And so that was their game plan. It'll be interesting to see if the Islanders adjust to that. And maybe not play that trap, like that neutral zone clogging, and maybe play more man on man a little bit more, which I don't see Barry Trotz doing that, but it'll be really interesting to see how they adjust and what happens in the second game on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock.
Well, the one adjustment they have to make is don't let Braden Point be open, because on his second goal, the minute he entered the zone, nobody. And I'm like, that's not going to bode well for you, New York. And then he skated back. He took the ball. And I was like, and then
what was the line?
Hey,
was it,
I'm open.
It was Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov, and was it Palat? Was that
it was.
The line? So
yeah,
who do you cover? That's kind of like what happened in that game where Nikita was out. Okay, we don't have to cover Nikita. So we're just going to put all our guys on Braden, and that's why he was kind of quiet that game. Well, now it's like, you got to put one guy on each of them. Or if you think Nikita's the guy to really keep an eye on, then you're going to have one of those guys is going to end up open.
Well, I just found that whole play so kind of interesting when you looked at it, because I'm watching him and I'm like, why? Uh-oh, that's not probably going to end well.
Yeah.
He's just seconds all by himself, and then he calls. List his stick.
Oh, I know. He's
calls
like,
for
over
him,
here.
And like, hey, and nobody's covering me, dude. And he just, it was perfect.
Out of the air. I mean,
it was so perfect. And
he's
it's like,
so amazing.
Are you just, you know, if you want the kid to burn you the whole series, keep doing what you're doing.
And the others to be that open moving.
No,
forward.
You would think they fix that, which should, you know, and then what do you do? Because Andre Palat they kind of took, you know, the one guy even tries to go after him on his goal.
Yeah.
And he just kind of waits just a split second and shoots it straight in. So it is. That line is hard to defend.
Well, and what I also like is I don't normally like the 11-7 split. But what I like about
it
is that you can put any guy out there and rotate him in for the forwards. You know what I mean?
I was actually, I had a feeling after McDonough went out and then he put in the seven defensemen. We knew why. Okay, well, it's big shoot. But then when McDonough came back to see him keep it, because I'm a big fan of dressing seven defensemen. And I just, you know, I just think it works out more than it doesn't. Even the one game, you know, when they played with 10 forwards because Kucherov got hurt, they still were, you know, okay. Now, this is a very, I don't want to say well put together. I don't want to say that. But this team is in incredibly stellar shape.
Right.
And you see a lot of teams get very sluggish from being tired. The Lightning, you can see them get a little flat for a little while, you know, but aside from two games in this bubble, we really haven't seen that from them. So I, and we have to say really the stars were just aligned for the Lightning last night. I mean, there was the one shot that Vasi actually hit and went into the crossbar and I was like, oh, and then Gord's, you know, Gord's goal, which, so sometimes you have those games.
It was weird because they kept playing and then they're like, stop play. And they're like, it's a goal. And Yanni's like, yay.
I know, because he's like, did that? I think that. Oh, okay. And then he just turned and started skating away. And I was like, I think it was Eddie O that said that that's a good 7.5 inches past the line. Like that's a clear goal.
Yeah.
I think it just happened so quickly.
Yeah. I mean,
but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, one of two things can happen here. The Islanders can come out pissed off and just give it to us in game two. And then actually one of three things can happen. So that's scenario one. Scenario two, they're still pissed off and the Lightning come out and match their intensity and we have got a great competitive game.
Mm-hmm.
Or number three, they are so tired, so disenfranchised, feel like they have egg on their face and they just lay down and let us, you know, steamroll them. I don't think C is going to happen. It's going to be A or B.
I think B. I think they're going to come out Wednesday night a little more rejuvenated, a little bit more like, well, that was kind of not what, you know, we know this is a good team, but, you know, we've had pretty good success against them this year.
Yeah.
And then I think the Lightning are just, they said it a few times during the broadcast. This is a well-oiled machine at this point.
Yeah.
And they said, we saw it against, you know, Columbus, we saw it against Boston, and now we're seeing it here. They're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
And I don't think that momentum's going to stop. I think it's going to continue to go.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be just a tighter game. I wouldn't be shocked. I don't want to put this out in the ether.
But I
wouldn't be shocked if it went to OT.
Okay. I agree with you. It's almost like I've seen this series more of a chess game than anything because because one thing I didn't see last year in the Columbus series, and I know we don't want to keep talking about it, was I didn't see our team adjust and have success with those adjustments. I've seen this team make adjustments and be successful with those adjustments through games this season. So it'll be interesting to see Barry Trotz, because he's one of the best coaches ever, what adjustments he makes with his team, see what kind of adjustments John Cooper maybe makes with his team or not. Or, you know, when they come out and see that Islanders have adjusted, if we make any adjustments to our game, you know, it's different from saying that we're going to play our game. There are little tweaks that they can make, like switching lines up or, you know, switching a goaltender. So it's kind of like, I really see it as a chess game with this series for some reason, just because of the coaches.
Yeah.
You know, Vasi is playing amazingly. I just think we're clicking on all cylinders right here. And, you know, even last night, the Islanders tried to push our guys around at the end and try to get in their faces. And for the most part, they didn't let them. but they also weren't stupid with their penalties for the most part.
It was a lot of penalties. 11 penalties in a playoff game is
a lot. But when you get to 5 and 6 goals and the other team is 1 or 2, I think the goal, I think the refs did a decent job kind of keeping it contained because it can get out of hand real quick.
Yeah.
Because one team's going to be really pissed off. You know, so I think the those penalties were kind of to set a tone for the series. Like, you're not going to get away with stuff. You know, you're not going to be making slashes and going after people and not having to pay the price in the penalty box for it. So I thought the refs did a nice job with that.
Yeah. I did think the game misconduct calls were weird.
I did too. Okay. But that's the ref sending a message. Like, you're not going to be able to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, it was strange. It was that was a whole weird thing that happened that I was like,
I don't think that might have happened in a game 2, 3, or 4.
Maybe
I
not.
Think they were just trying to set a tone. Like, we're going to play hockey here. We're going to play good hockey, and you're not going to be able to get away with stuff. So
let's hope so. Because we saw some funk.
Yeah.
With the Bruins, that I know, you know, the Lightning don't want to go through, the fans don't want to go through, the Islanders probably don't, or their fans as well. So let's just have good hockey.
Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, even though, you know, the score was 8-2, I still thought it was a really good game. Not just because the Lightning won, but I thought it was an interesting.
It wasn't
game.
Boring.
It was exciting. It was fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know. So I kind of want to throw something out before we go. Because I was talking to my dad about this, and I was kind of proud that he, like, thought of this, because I hadn't even thought of this. And they kind of alluded to it last night on the broadcast a little bit. So you've got Dallas and Vegas. Coach Rick Bonus. Ben Bishop, who really hasn't been playing that much for Dallas. Just think of who could be meeting for the Stanley Cup final. Because Rick Bonus was our defensive coordinator for a very long time. One of our most favorite guests on the podcast.
Oh, so much fun.
And I'm a huge Rick Bonus fan. And Ben Bishop, you know, was the starter goaltender when Andrei Vasilevskiy was just an itty-bitty little baby goaltender, which wasn't that long ago. And, you know, kind of learned and came up under him. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to jinx it, but... Just think about – marinate on that for a bit because Dallas looked really good against Vegas. Vegas had nothing.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked. I was like, Vegas is going to go all the way. I was sure.
I just wonder how much, you know, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin kind of like, you know what, it's time.
Yeah. Tyler Seguin already won a cup with Boston, and I don't want to talk about that either.
He was like 18 or whatever.
It was his first year.
Yeah. So I just think like this is his team and Jamie Benn's team. You know what I mean?
I love I'm a huge Jamie Benn fan.
So. I know you are. And I actually like Tyler Seguin, who you don't like for some reason. But the one thing I did want to bring up earlier about Vasilevskiy, he plays with such a calmness and a poise that it's almost like the dude is so ice cold out there. And you think about, you know, he's been a part of this team for so long, but you realize he's just turned 26.
Oh my God.
I mean, a lot of goalies are, you know, 30, even, you know, a little older than that. That's okay. As a goalie, you have long careers. He's still 26 and he plays with just the most, I have this thing where he just, you know, wanders and I scream in the net a lot at Vasilevskiy and he just calmly just skates right on back and go. No, thank you. I don't want that. It's not coming in my net. Oh, hello. How are you? I'll come over. And I'm just like, this kid is mind-blowing to watch him operate. Yeah. And they said it last night. He's just a special talent.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing you can say about it. He never gets shaken up. He just, everything is just very calm.
Very even-keeled.
Amazing to watch him.
Yeah. And they were talking about his size and his athleticism, and how normally when you get guys of that size, they're not necessarily that athletic or that flexible or, you know, able to make those kind of quick changes because they are so long limbed. But they were just talking about how his athleticism is really leaps and bounds above those of the other goaltenders. And so that was great. You know, and there was something else I was going to mention, and it's completely escaped me at this point. But darn it.
No. I do think the Killorn, you know, Johnson, I think they're due for a goal.
Yeah.
Pat Maroon, I thought he was going to have one there at
the
end.
I was too. Like, come on, Patty. Yeah, no, we were close.
But yeah, I the team looks good. They play really well together.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, you know, you mentioned it earlier, and I know we're running, you know,
yeah,
a little long.
Almost 30 minutes now.
But, you know, I will have to say, I almost have to remind myself that Blake Coleman has not been on this team for years.
Seriously, right? And Barclay Goodrow too. And I think it's just being forced to be around each other all the time has really helped with those pickups. And even when they were first picked up at the trade deadline, I thought they, you know, worked their way into the lineup so nicely. I just think them being around each other all the time has really helped them become tight of a group. Because, I mean, we did bring in, what, three new guys? Bogosian,
I think Bogosian was first.
Coleman.
Maybe Coleman was first or however it went, you know. Yeah. But
that's,
yeah.
I mean, those are three big pieces who are playing every game.
Yep.
And for them to...
Playing well.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a big Zach Bogosian fan. I think he's got a wicked sense of humor, and I love a good sense of humor. But what I wanted to say, and I finally remembered, you know how we always used to yell, because you were saying that you were always yelling at Vassy to get back in goal? You know how we always used to yell, shoot the puck?
Yeah.
I don't feel like we're doing that as often, at least in the last like three games that they've played. Again, and there were a couple goals last night where I was like, see what happens when you just put it towards the blue paint. Just put it near the blue paint. Just shoot it towards there. Good things happen. So anyway, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here because this is a long series.
It will be, I think.
But they should feel good about that game. They should feel good about their chances. You know, just keep shutting down that Matt Barzell guy and Matt Martin. I'm not a big fan of Matt Martin either. Cal Clutterbuck did go off, and I don't know if he returned, so that's something to keep an eye on.
I don't think I like Nelson either.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I don't, you know, it's just, I hate to say it, but the Islanders are a team I just didn't pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that they, you know, two seasons ago, who was the guy who was the captain and he left to go to Toronto?
Oh, John Tavares.
John Tavares. And then they had a great two seasons since then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Anders Lee is another guy who I've heard a lot about to keep an eye on. But I find the goaltending tandem very interesting. And so I think that's going to be a huge crux of this playoff round is who's going to be in goal. And how are they going to work that? Because, like, it was funny last night after they put Varlamov in for Grice, they were talking. I think maybe Eddie O was talking. He's like, yeah, I'd probably start Varlamov, you know, in the next, because they were talking about the next game. And then I think like three or four goals went in. And then they're like, so what do you think about the goaltender now? And he goes, I don't know who to put in for the next game. You know, it's like, who do you put in? So it'll be interesting to see Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on either NBC or NBCSN. I can't remember. But we basically play every other day. And then the Dallas Stars and Golden Knights play on our off days. Because they're all in the Edmonton bubble now, all one bubble.
And as far as I don't think there's any back-to-backs either. I did not see any back-to-backs.
But I think it's really good that they kind of condense the bubble because they basically can play every other day.
Right.
And they've got another team to fill in that hole. But there is something, if they play on Sunday, and I don't know which game Sunday would be, there's like a Rays game at the same time, and the first Tom Brady Bucks game is like an hour and a half after the game time for the Lightning start. So it's like, what are you going to, I won't be watching the Rays but apparently they're playing really well too, but I'll be channel surfing because it's not a regular season game. It's just it's preseason, right? It's still September.
I don't know.
But anyway, it's the Tom Brady Bucks game. And Rob Gronkowski, which I'm still waiting on my jersey. Buccaneers, but whatever. I'm a Rob Gronkowski girl. Yeah. I know, it's shocking. The guy with the personality. CT likes the guy with the personality. But anyway, yeah, so big sports day in Tampa on Sunday for sure. Yeah. So, Dory, anything you want to say before we go?
Nope. Just think this is, you know, we've said it like three or four times. It's going to be a long series. I don't expect them to score 8 goals every game.
No, don't expect that. But expect a competitive, because even though it was 8-2, it was still a competitive game. So expect a competitive series. The Islanders are not going to lay down. It's been, what, 27 or 37 years since they've gotten this far.
Yeah.
They're not going to go away quietly into the night. So it'll be an interesting series for sure. All right, Dory. That has been, because I've started timing these, that's 30 minutes.
Whoops.
There was a lot to talk about. There was a lot to talk. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, how on the Jimmy Kimmel show, they always, at the end of the show, he's like, sorry, Matt Damon, we ran out of time. We're not going to be able to. It's kind of like that, where yeah. we always say it's a 10 minute and then it ends up being 3 times as long. So we hope you enjoyed it. And subscribing on Apple Podcasts and review and leave us a rating. We'd love to hear what you have to say. You can also tweet us at Game Is with a Z Conduct. Diamond Joe tweets us all the time. We love seeing his tweets. So, you know, if you've got questions, if you have observations, we love to shout them out on the podcast. Tell your friends to listen. And, you know, one more game closer to the big enchilada. And pouring the hot sauce on.
Pouring the hot sauce on those enchiladas.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next time.